Good morning, everyone. Good to see you this morning. Well, today, a whole bunch of our team, or church that is flying out to the Holy Lands tour. So Vikram and Shalini before, they are flying out this afternoon. I'm flying out late tonight, last flight out of Sydney, because I want to hear Alyssa Searles preach. So where is Alyssa? Oh, go on. Hello, Jackson. Jackson's been on holidays, but he's back. He's looking fresh. Let's give Jackson a great hand. Jackson is our youth pastor. Awesome. Well, we're going to get straight into the Word of God today. Last week, we started a new series on prayer. Who was blessed by last week and what God spoke to us about? There's no doubt that God's really speaking to us about this at the moment. And what I want to do quickly before we get into today's word is just do a quick recap, a review of what God spoke to us about last week Sunday. So it won't take too long, and then we'll get into today's preach. Last week we spoke out of the scripture, Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, which says, "But you, when you pray," notice the you and the your, in other words, your responsibility. Amen. "Go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your," lots of personal responsibility here, people, "and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." We spoke about taking personal responsibility for your prayer life. We spoke about not reducing our prayer lives, our time alone with God, to a podcast whilst I'm on the train or standing at the bus stop or listening to a praise song when I'm at the gym. All of those things are fantastic, but they should never replace the treasure room. And we spoke about the room, the Greek word that's used there speaks about a room that would set apart in a house where people's personal treasures were kept. In other words, God's saying, you never treat it with a flippant heart or a flippant attitude. This is precious. This is something, in other words, that you do with intentionality. We said last week that I believe that most of the challenges that we face, many of them, can actually be resolved in the prayer room, in our personal time with God. We spoke about shutting the door, and we said that there are certain things you got to leave out when you pray. But when you shut the door, there's also things that you can take in with you. We spoke about a little bit of worship and the Word of God, and we spoke about the grace of God. I'm shutting the grace of God in with me so that I can come boldly before the throne of grace. We spoke about praying to our Father. This is about relationship. When I'm in that moment of prayer, he's just not God, he's my Father. It's a place of relationship. It's a place of engagement. The Bible speaks about a secret place. Everyone say secret place. And that secret place is a place of privacy. And we said last week that privacy fosters honesty. Who remembers that? But what does honesty do? Honesty fosters trust. And trust, in the end, builds relationship. And so that secret place of interaction with our Father who is in heaven is building deep relationship. And we said that there cannot be true intimacy without privacy. And that's what that secret place is all about. Intimacy, privacy, trust, interaction. And so my prayer is that what we're hearing is actually being written not just in our minds, but it's actually going into the tablets of our heart. That this is not just a good sermon or a good scripture to think about, but God's moving our hearts. We're moving our hearts towards the secret place. I said last week that the number one thing in our lives is our time alone with God. I'm a better husband when I spend time with Jesus. I'm a better dad when I've spent time with Jesus. I'm a better pastor when I've spent time with Jesus. Nothing will deter me or move me away from my personal interaction with God. It is number one in my life. And I've had people, yeah, let's give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. And so all week I've been receiving text messages, pictures of people's devotional lives. One person in the church told me they set up this whole area in their house that has a desk, a Bible, a time alone with Jesus. Someone else created a do not disturb sign, or else I will flesh out. No, they didn't say that. Do not disturb. This is my time alone with Jesus. We said last week that Sunday morning and Sunday night is not the secret place. It's an addition to what God is already doing in my life, in the secret place, during the course of the week. And when I come on a Sunday, it's a continuation. It's not the start, it's the continuation. That's a word for someone this morning. It's a continuation of what God has already been doing in my life on Monday when I prayed, Tuesday when I prayed, Wednesday when I prayed, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And when I come together with the people of God, it's an ongoing process of our Father in heaven blessing, strengthening, encouraging, and moving us forward into His purposes. Can you say amen? Well, today we are going to preach a message now from the Old Testament. Our message title today is A Prayer That Changed a Nation. We're going to have a look at the prayer of Hannah this morning. Everyone say Hannah. Not Hannah Shan, but Hannah from the Bible. I love this story in the Bible because we can all relate to it in some way this morning. Hannah has a desire. She has a desire to have a child. It's a great desire in her heart. She's waited for years for God to bless her in this way. She's barren. We don't know exactly why she was barren, but she has a desire that one day she would have a child. Year in, year out, she's waiting on God. She's faithful, but she does not have or does not see what's actually in her heart. Have you ever been in a place where you've waited on God, you've believed, you've dreamt, you've thought about it, you've prayed, and you don't see what is actually in your heart? We can all relate to it in some way. It could be related to a business dream. Or perhaps for some people this morning, it's a son or a daughter coming back to the Lord, or mum and dad coming to know Jesus. It could be in the area of your finances. There's a deep desire in your heart where you're actually waiting on God to bless you with something. It could be related to your ministry. You're believing that God's going to advance your ministry and the call of God coming to fruition. We all have these deep dreams and desires in our heart where we are asking God to bless us. Hannah, her name means, in the Hebrew, it means grace or gracious or favored. So here we have a lady who is blessed with an incredible name, grace, gracious, favored, but her name and her experience are at odds with one another. Deep down in her heart, she's, God, you've given me the name grace, gracious, favored, but my experience does not match up to what you've actually spoken over my life. Many times in our lives, God speaks to us, He blesses us, He tells us something, but I don't know about you, now and again my experience does not actually match up to what's actually been spoken over my life. For Hannah, this is something that's out of her control. A deep desire, a longing from God to bless her with a child. Not only is she barren, Hannah is also under attack. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 6, it says, Hannah's rival used to torment her. Now, talk about an evil individual. This is one right here. She's barren, but she's got somebody who's tormenting her for her barrenness. Hannah's rival used to torment her and humiliate her. Folks, this is bullying on steroids. She's tormented. She's humiliated because she had no children. Verse 7, look at how often this lady did this to Hannah. It says, year after year, this happened. It's interesting that the devil always attacks us in our place of weakness. And here's Hannah. She has a desire. She's believing God. She has a name that should reflect grace, favor, but the very opposite is happening in her life. Tormented, humiliated. She had no children. Year after year this happened when she went up to the house of the Lord. Her rival, this evil individual, used to torment her. Once when she was in tears and would not eat. Scripture goes on. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Talk about disappointment. Talk about harassment. Talk about a dream that's out of reach. In some way, at some point in our lives, we can all relate to it. We're believing God for something. We're waiting on God for something. God spoke the word over our lives. He said, your name is Hannah, but the very opposite is happening in her life. So we're going to talk about four things today that Hannah's story, the prayer of Hannah, what I believe God wants to talk to us about today. Number one, every great victory at first looks like defeat. Here we go again. Every great victory at first looks like defeat. From God's perspective, defeat is the beginning of a miracle. Right throughout the Word of God, we see time and time again when people were in defeat, but when God steps in on the situation, He turns it around for His glory. I think about the disciples who had fished all night and caught nothing. The very thing that disappointed them was the very thing that Jesus told them to do. Go again. They said, nevertheless, at your word, we will cast out the net. I think about Moses, 40 years, grew up in Pharaoh's court. He gets ousted to the wilderness for 40 years again. This was not a trial that lasted for a year or two or three or four or five. This was 40 years in a wilderness. And then one day, he has a burning bush experience. And his victory, the purposes of God in his life, at first look like defeat. But when God comes into the situation, there is a dynamic restoration that takes place. I think about Zacharias and Elizabeth, year after year, waiting on the purposes of God. One day, one prayer, one encounter with God transformed the situation. I think about Esther, who in a moment, in a season in Israel's history when they were about to be wiped out as the people of God, God strategically positions her. And in a place where there should have been defeat, God raises up a woman, places her in a key place of influence, and an entire nation is saved. Your defeat right now is not your defeat. From God's perspective, it's actually the beginning of a miracle. It's actually the beginning of something supernatural. Jesus himself, Satan thought he had won. Let's crucify him. Let's kill him. Let's send him to the grave. And what seemed like defeat was in fact the very beginning of the purposes of God. And you and I sit here today because Satan thought, let's destroy him, let's kill him, let's end the purposes of God. But 3 days later, great victory. And we are blessed today. We are whole today. We are healed today. We have eternity today because what seemed like defeat was the beginning of a great victory. I think about the story of Shy Alive and what God has done in our church in the last few years. I say to our staff, and now and again I mention this at church, not too often, maybe I should say it more often. And I remember when I first came, and in the first year, I was reading the Psalms, and I was reading Psalm 23. And in case you're wondering, in the life of our church, why do we have Psalm 23 around the place? It's because it's deep in our church. It tells our church's story. I remember reading the Psalms, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit inspired revelation, and I saw Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24 is all about Jesus. So you have this package or this group of messianic psalms. In Psalm 22, he's the suffering servant. And that's where we get the scripture from, where it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? I remember coming into Shy Alive, and God speaks to me, and he said, this is where Shy Alive is at right now. Shy Alive is bruised, it's battered, it's going through a difficult season. But it doesn't end there, because there's a psalm called Psalm 23. And we preach Psalm 23. And the Holy Spirit spoke to Allison and I and said, you can't do this in your own strength. This is not going to take incredible skill or wisdom or ability. There's only one person who can turn this around, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we preach Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. That is, he is actively and presently involved in our lives today. And we spoke about Jesus. We spoke about his kindness. We spoke about his goodness. And we introduced and brought our church back to the Good Shepherd. He's the only one who can lead us through this situation. But eventually, Psalm 23 leads into Psalm 24. Psalm 24 is where we get that verse from. Who is that King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. And I knew that God was not just taking us to a place where we knew the Good Shepherd, although that's fantastic. But Psalm 24 starts off by saying, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. In other words, our church has been called to a place of where we conquer, where there's victory, where we take things back that the devil has stolen. And what seemed like defeat at the time was the beginning of a great victory in the purposes of God. Hannah's prayer also teaches us about the logic of faith. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10, in her deep anguish, what does Hannah do? It says, Hannah prayed to the Lord. When you're going through a season of defeat, when you're going through something that seems like, man, I am in the grave right now, it doesn't say that Hannah got on Facebook and let, you know, these days on social media, when someone's going through something, it's like, let's put a post on Facebook or Instagram so everybody knows. Now, I'm not kind of being nasty if you've done that this week, but I do want to ask you, are you actually praying? Are you actually praying about the situation? It says that Hannah prayed to the Lord. Doesn't say that Hannah gossiped about her situation. Have you heard of that girl, Penina? Oh my God, she has been tormenting me. In fact, she should be excommunicated from the church. People like that should never be allowed into a church. In fact, she shouldn't even be allowed into a life group. No, what did Hannah do? She prayed to the Lord. Not only did she pray, but the Bible says she was in weeping. She came with brokenness before God. It's easy when we're going through something like this and to think that the logic at the time should be a social media post, gossip about the individual who's tormenting us, maybe a bit of isolation so that everybody knows what I'm going through at the time. I tell you, isolation will never restore you. Isolation has never restored anybody. In fact, it's against the word of God to isolate yourself. Bible says a man who isolates himself rages against all wise judgment. The Bible says the logic of faith is Hannah prayed to the Lord. The logic of faith is not evil speech. The logic of faith is not, let's talk really bad about those people so everybody else hates them as well too. And so I can have people on my side in this situation. Come on, somebody, this morning. It says that Hannah prayed to the Lord. It's illogical to gossip. It's illogical to make social media your place of expressing all of your feelings. Now, I'm not against that. I like doing that. Not often, but every now and again. But I've got to pray. Prayer is number one. It's illogical when I'm facing something to, hey, let's isolate. Isolation is number one so that I can remove myself from everybody and everything and everyone because they're all evil, I'm good. Hey, come on, church. The Bible says that Hannah prayed to the Lord. She prayed to the Lord. Whenever we go through something, I want to ask you, do you pray? Do you get alone in the presence of God? Bring it up with your Father? And say, Father in heaven, this is what I'm going through. I love reading the Psalms because the Psalms teach us so much about when you're going through a difficult season and how you should pray and what you should pray about. I love it because it's raw, it's kind of out there. I reckon David was an Australian, to be honest. He just kind of puts it out there. He says, this is how I'm feeling, but God, I need your help in this situation. And we learn the language of prayer. David said, when he was going through a difficult season, Psalm 142, verse 4, look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Ever been there before? No one cares about me. I went to life group and no one even said hello to me. That's what happened to David. He says, refuge has failed me. In other words, I kind of got no place to feel relaxed. No one cares for my soul. He's a hurting brother. Who knows what I'm talking about? But it's raw. He puts it out there. And then look at what it says in verse 5. I cried out to you, O Lord. What did he do? In his feeling of isolation, nobody cares for my soul. He just doesn't say no one cares for me. It's like, my soul. He says, I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you. Where does his strength come? Where does his place of comfort come from? It says, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they're very strong. They are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of the prison, that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me. In other words, God's going to put the right people around me. For you shall deal bountifully or generously with me. Church, this is the logic of faith. It's illogical to gossip. It's not who you are as a born-again believer. It's illogical to isolate yourself. It's illogical to have evil speech. We do what Hannah did. She went and she prayed to the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. What a great verse. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Jesus said that you and I always ought to pray. Always ought to pray. Doesn't say isolation. Doesn't say disconnection. doesn't say evil speech, talk bad about everybody and everything. It says we always ought to pray and not lose heart. Deep down inside of Hannah, everything was against her. Tormented by an individual, bullying on steroids. But inside of her, she took her situation to the Lord and she prayed. And a kernel of faith opened up the floodgates of heaven in an unreserved boldness to say, God, you can do something in this situation. Hannah teaches us the logic of faith. Number three, prayer will cause you to contemplate life from the highest point of view. I love it because prayer elevates my thinking. Prayer elevates how I see the situation. In other words, I'm now seeing it from God's point of view. Look at what she says when she prays. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 11. And she made this vow. Here we go. O Lord of heaven's armies. She addresses the God who has all resource. She addresses the God who's full of power, full of grace, full of mercy, full of life. He's unstoppable. He is absolutely supreme. And she's saying, God of heaven's armies, or Lord of heaven's armies, I now depend on your resource. Prayer changes the way you see the situation. Prayer elevates your thinking. Prayer causes you to see that individual, that person, that situation, that workplace, that obstacle. You start to see it from God's point of view. I found when you're going through a trial, when you're facing something that the winds are opposite and you're trying to get through to the other side, I find that prayer, being in the place of prayer, the thoughts change, the way I see people, the way I see the situation, everything gets adjusted, and I go on God's chiropractic table and he moves and he shifts, and it's like, now I see the situation in the way that God wants me to see it. Number four, Hannah teaches us that God's delays are not his denials. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 11, she says, answer my prayer, give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. That son, of course, was Samuel, who later became Samuel the prophet. I find that when you believe in God for something, so often there's a delay in the purposes of God. Who knows what I'm talking about? Sometimes my prayer and my hope is that God would do things now. God would do things immediately. I want McDonald's drive-through, God. Come on, someone. Go, 3 minutes, bam, dishes are done. What, you're asking me to go in the parking bay? How dare you ask me to do that? Come on, no waiting bays in the purposes of God. But time and time again in the Word of God, delay, delay, delay. Paul, I've called you, but you're going to go to the wilderness, to obscurity for about 13 years. What, 13? That's a long time. Moses, I've raised you up, but there's a thing called the wilderness. You're going to spend about 40 years. 40? What? How on earth am I going to impact people's lives when I go in the wilderness for 40 years? No one's going to know my name in the wilderness. Here's Hannah. Delay, delay, torment, delay, evil lady, more torment. Delay, delay, delay. Watch what's happening to Hannah. If we always get what we want when we think we should get it, we find that what God is actually trying to do to us, or in us is more, it's more than just about what we receive. What it's actually about is the work of God within. It's not always about the fulfillment of the promise or what you desire. Ultimately, it's actually about the work within. Hannah could have prayed, said, God, give me a son. Oh yeah, I'm McDonald's God. There you go. 9 months later, dishes are done, all happened. But she prayed. Things were against her, and she kept praying. But there was a day when she prayed. She said, God, I'm believing for a son, but he will be yours for his entire lifetime. God just didn't want to give her a son. What he wanted was a child of promise. In other words, the delay is causing an alignment in your heart and your thinking with the purposes of God. God is doing a work in me so that I am actually aligned with the bigger picture, with the way that he thinks. I want a child, God sees a nation. I want a little boy, he sees somebody who he has to raise up to anoint David the prophet. I want a child, I want a son, but God sees Shia life several thousand years later, because Jesus came out of the lineage of David, and here we are worshiping today. I want this, but God sees the big picture. He's shaping, he's moving, he's deepening the purposes of God in my life because he sees it all. There were two books that were written. One was called Easy Steps to Maturity. The other one was called Secrets of Instant Sainthood. How awesome would that be? How many of you know there's no easy steps to maturity? It takes time, and we walk it out, and God's building our faith. He's moving things. He's working things. He sees the bigger picture. He's not actually denying the promise. He's delaying it because a work needs to be done in me so that he can work through me so that I'm aligned with his purposes. If you feel that the purposes of God or the promises of God are delayed in your life right now, it's actually a sign that God is working behind the scenes, putting things in place, because there's a bigger picture. It's about a city who doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It's about a nation that needs to bow its knee to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It's about a nation that's called the Great South Land of the Holy Spirit. God sees the bigger picture. We see it in the ministry of Jesus, and this man by the name of Jairus comes and he says, Jesus, I need a miracle. I need you to be McDonald's God. Like now, instant scratchy. 100 grand later, we're all rich. I want it now. Well, Jesus says, well, I'll come and I'll heal your daughter. They start on the journey. It's all happening. They're going through the drive-thru. And all of a sudden, in the middle of this story, there's a lady who's known as the woman with the issue of blood. She comes, she touches the hem of his garment, and this whole interaction, this miracle happens on the way to Jairus. Hold on, Lord. Now, my daughter is at the point of death. Come and heal her. We can sort out this. Like, she's not gonna die in the next few hours. My daughter's gonna die. So maybe we'll just park her on the bench for an hour or two, maybe three. We'll give her a cup of cold water. Logic would suggest calm back to this situation, because this one is more urgent. This one can wait. Well, this woman reaches out. You know the story. Jesus said, someone touched me. The disciples said, oh, Lord, everyone's touching. No, I felt power come out of me. The woman says, well, it was me. And she was supernaturally healed. Now put yourself in Jairus' shoes. I want it now, God. this is urgent, this one can wait. You see, when you're going through a delay, when your God seems to hit the roundabout, and instead of going straight through, he turns left. What are you doing, God? Come on. Maybe he kind of goes around a couple of times. God, straight is very easy. Just hold the steering wheel like, go like this, then like this, and bam, in the purposes of God. But he delays it. Why? Along the way, you'll watch other people receive their miracle. Come on, I'm talking to someone now. You'll see other people receive their blessing. You'll see the woman with the issue of blood. But God, my situation is more urgent than that. Have you ever felt like that? I mean, one day is not going to destroy her. Cup of cold water, easy, relax, we'll be back. This is urgent. But God hits the roundabout and he decides to exit. In all of that, something is provoked in your heart. Do you want me to tell you what it is? You'll either become very insecure when you see other people elevated, and you'll be like, God has forgotten about me. He told me I was going to be the next Darlene Check. He told me I was going to be T.D. Jakes. And this guy here, he's now taken my spot. What's going on? God told me that my business was going to prosper, and I thought by the time I was going to get to 40, I'd have 6 children, I'd have $1 million in the bank account, I'll be touring Europe getting a tan like Pastor Brad. So I planned, but God, you got to the roundabout and you decided to turn left. So all of these thoughts come up in our heart. We say, God, have you forgotten about me? Jairus, remember? Hello, God, Jairus. We spoke about 5 minutes ago about you coming to my house and you said, yes, I will come. But now God's been interrupted. He interrupts, he interacts with people. He raises this one up. And you, Jairus, feel like you've been left on the side. Ever felt like that? About 2 human beings this morning. In all of it, God is allowing things to come out of our heart, because remember, it's not just about the healing. It's not just about the result. God's more interested in what's going on the inside of us. What the miracle of the woman with the issue of blood was supposed to do in Jairus' heart is this. God, if you can do this for her, you can do this for my daughter. It's not supposed to bring up jealousy. It's not supposed to bring up insecurity. God, in fact, is aligning your heart with faith so that you can think the way that he thinks. So when I'm in that place of prayer, God is changing my thinking. He's changing the way that I see the situation. He's working in me, so that when the promise comes, I don't make the promise my God. I make what God, or the work of the Lord in my heart, I see that as the goal. I see that as God's precious work. And this is an addition to the eternal treasures of the things that God has done in my heart on the way to Jairus' house. Hannah prays, because what God was waiting for was that breath to come out of her mouth that said, this child of mine, he's going to be yours for his entire lifetime. Because God saw a nation. Your delays are not his denials. I can guarantee you, Jesus is never, ever late, but he's never hurried. He'll take his time. He's very cool. He's very relaxed. But one thing I can tell you, he is coming to your house. But do everything you can in that journey to allow God to align your thinking, align his purposes in your heart. And in the place of prayer, just like Hannah, one day you will pray a prayer That's exactly what God is saying and God is thinking. And boom, in an instant, you'll receive your reward. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. Are you ready for this verse? Come on, you ready for this verse? In the Living Bible. But these things, amen, the things that you desire, I plan. Oh, Lord, are you telling me they won't happen right away? Here we go. Here's the heart of God. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, do not despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day. What an awesome verse. Come on. What an incredible verse. God's timing is perfect. Do you know how many people I've seen over the years in ministry who've run away from the purposes of God because there was a delay? The beauty of the delay is His work within. The beauty of the delay is the shaping of God in my heart, the shaping of God in my thinking, so that I can think His way, I can speak His way, because God's more interested in my character than He is in my gifting. The change, the internal work of God, let me say this to you, church, the internal work of God is the true treasure. The internal work of God is where the jewels are found. The internal work of God is where the gold is. Think back over your life. If our musicians can come, please. And I think back, those of you who've served God long enough, one of the beauties of getting older is you have the opportunity to reflect on the movements of God. You think about a delay. You think about, because of that delay, you met that person. You think about, because God decided to, instead of something taking a month, it took 2 years. And that happened because God needed you to wait because of something strategic that needed to happen. And God, in His wisdom, knows exactly when those things should be, when they should happen, because all the while, He's building my faith. I'm watching other people receive their miracles. I'm watching increase. I'm watching the woman with the issue of blood. And the question is, what's it provoking in me? Jealousy? Anger? You've forgotten me, God? Or, Lord, You've done it in them. You can do it for me, because I know You're coming to my house. All of this is God's work in our hearts. While the boy Samuel grows up, I mentioned it before, he anoints David. David becomes the greatest king in Israel's history. Hannah's faithfulness just didn't impact her life. It impacted generations. Generations to come. God's delays are not His denials. Hannah's prayer, out of everything that I've said this morning that has impacted me, talk about prevailing prayer. Talk about fruit from a lady who said, I will not give up. I will keep praying and I'll keep believing. And God did something mighty in a nation. I want to appeal to you this morning, church, not to put prayer on the back burner if you feel like you're in a delay. I'm appealing to you this morning, church, to not isolate yourself. Don't become a gossip. That's not who you are. You are a child of God. I want to appeal to your speech this morning. Don't let the delay cause you to have speech that's wrong. I'm appealing to you this morning to get to that place of prayer, because God is doing a beautiful work within that you will one day look back at and say, wow, Lord, You did a great work in my heart. I'm appealing to you this morning, church, that in your delay, which I can guarantee you, you will or are experiencing, along the way, the woman with the issue of blood's gonna get healed. She's going to get touched. She will have an elevation. But can you celebrate it? Can you honor it? Can you bless it? Or will you curse it in your heart? I'm appealing to you this morning. God's putting it there not to harm you or frustrate you. He's putting it there because he's saying to you, the miracle that you need, you will need to see other miracles along the way to energize your faith. It's not there to frustrate you, it's there to energize you. God's delays are not his denials. It's all a part of his good work in our lives. Can you say amen? Church, this morning we're going to spend a little bit of time in worship, and Karen's going to lead us. And during this time, if you feel like you're in a delay, you feel as though God spoke to you and said, Jairus, I'm coming to your house. And you're on that journey, but you hit the roundabout and God decided to turn left instead of going straight. But you want to surrender today. You want to get to a place where you say, God, you can turn left, you can turn right. And no matter which way you decide to go, I still choose to trust in you and I will pray. Hannah prayed to the Lord. I'll keep reaching out to you, God. I'll keep reaching out to your heart and I will get in that secret place and allow you to work within me, because I know that the delay is not there to frustrate me. The delay is there because you are seeing something far greater than what I can see right now. Can you say amen? So church, let's all stand up on our feet. Karen, if you can lead us in some worship, and if God is speaking to you today and you sense a delay, you sense a, Lord, where am I in all of this? Can I ask you for something, please? Can I ask you with bold faith to step out of your seat and to come right down the front, to open up your heart to God and to say, Lord, once again, I choose to trust in you. Come on, can we do that today? Can we do that today? Come on, don't be one of those Christians who say, I've been doing this for 40 years, I'll just stay in my seat. Come on, be humble today and say, here I am, Holy Spirit. Come and do a fresh work in me today. In Jesus' name.